I was thinking back to an afternoon back in January, and it had begun to snow. It was the first snow. It was a beautiful snow. Later on, not so much, but that first one was just beautiful. And I'm sitting in my big easy chair, looking out my slider door window, and I had a home mass right at my table. And I had made myself some breakfast, and I thought, this retirement isn't a bad thing. But it's been 9 years, and so it's so good to be here. And welcome back, Father Phil. If I can't finish this, I'm sure he'll rise up. Anyway, I took the menu. I said, well, I wonder what's on TV, and the Hawks were on, and they weren't doing so well at that time, and I had some time, so I looked at the menu of the public television, and the opera Aida was on. And I remember in 1965, my mother came over for my ordination, and we went to the Baths of the Caracalla in Rome. And she loved music, and that's a wild place. And watched and took part in Aida. So I thought, I don't remember much about it except they had elephants in Rome, and they probably won't hear. And so I sat down and watched it. And I was just totally mesmerized. Opera was, the setting of opera, the people who came to opera, we always think of them as tuxedos and kind of uppie. It was the common people. They were lifted out of their common troubles, and they really took part. And the Romans knew all about that. So it was a great time. It wasn't a snooty opera like you might see here in the United States. And so that was my memory. I'd like to talk to you tonight about transcendent beauty. I think we really need beauty in our world. As I watched that opera, and I listened to that music, and the setting, and of course all the operatic difficulties, one worse than the next, of forbidden love. They were on the opposite sides of a war between Egypt, and they finally were discovered. And they were thrown into this vault. Just the two of them. And you thought, that's the end of it. Well, you knew it wasn't. And suddenly they were free to love. They didn't have to hide anymore. And the opera describes them as being lifted up into heaven. Their love transcended the mess that this world was in for them. So I think it's fitting this evening to think of what we're celebrating when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're celebrating transcendent beauty. The transcendent beauty of the supper with Jesus, our Savior, who was lifted up on the cross, who by sacrifice was raised, and by participation in this sacred triduum, we participate in that resurrection. We've all experienced transcendent beauty, like I was talking about. We have what we call creation spirituality. The beauties of creation are astounding if we take time to look at them, have the opportunity. And we have a natural spirituality of the loyalty and profundity of deep friendships and love. The best of our humanity. We have music and art. That stuff helps us transcend the common troubles of our life, or the boredom, or whatever it might be. I want you to imagine now that God is talking to himself. Now, he can do that. There's three persons, right? So he's talking to himself, and he's looking at the beauty of creation, or they are, I guess, and they're discussing, should we make human beings? And one of them said, they could be the crown of creation. And one of them said, oh, they'll mess it up. And of course they did. But they said, well, God the Son says, I think I'll go down you send me, I'll go down, and I'll be the presence of God among these human beings and raise them up out of their sinfulness. And so that's what happened. Jesus came and lived among us and was evident as God eventually in humanity. He taught us and he gave us the lift up. He underwent the Last Supper. And I think sometimes we spiritualize that and make it kind of, you know, la-la. But think of the times you've experienced somebody near death. Experience the last meal. You're not going to see somebody for a long time. But especially when we start to get near death, we're facing that. You gather your friends. You eat with them. You take time with them. You know that this may be the last time. You're afraid. You don't know what to do for sure or what to say. You're kind of clumsy like the apostles were. And yet, at this Last Supper, we have the beginning of the power and transcendent beauty of the life of sacrificial love. First of Jesus, but now of ourselves, because faith gives hope to us all. The beauty of being raised, transcending ordinary, simple, seemingly sometimes meaningless life where we're not very important. And so tonight, April 2019, we participate in that original supper. We sometimes say, there's this, that, there's all these masses. There's really only one mass. We all participate over space and time, over the ages, in that same Last Supper. We are all lifted up and transcend history. There is only one mass, and it's the transcendent of beauty, eating and being with us. And with all of us who have followed and lived his mission. So I have two thoughts then to help us enter into the mystery. The reality, as we talk about it, the real presence of Jesus. And it's easier tonight, it's easier during the Triduum, because we're really tuned in to and partaking of that powerful mystery. And the experience is available to us perhaps more and during Holy Week. But I am suggesting it's also true Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's a gradual lifetime growth and understanding. Maybe it's not an opera all the time. Maybe it's a little operetta. Or maybe not even that. But somehow, if we're open to that Sunday after Sunday, we start to transform. We start to transcend by faith and by the way we live. One of the things that happened with Jesus is that he commissioned the apostles. And so are we sent. We call it the Mass, Missa. We're sent, the Last Supper. We transcend by living Catholic life. And we celebrate that then in our liturgy. And so as we come tonight, and as we come Sunday after Sunday, the Catholic liturgy assumes that we are willing to sit with anybody at the table. There's a lot of exclusivity and stuff like that, and division. So everybody here is redeemed by Jesus. Everybody here loves Jesus, and Jesus loves them. So we shouldn't say, I don't want to sit by them. Or we have all sorts of exclusion kinds of things in terms of race and nationalism and everything else. We sit at the same table. We enter into the same conversation of God's word with one another. In the scriptures, we have music that we sing to. There's no place that sings like this place. I'm a missionary sometimes. This is one of the great things about Pius. People participate in singing. We have good leadership. But everybody takes it seriously in the pews, too. And so we read the scriptures, the music, and the liturgical actions, bringing up those oils tonight. Very unique, but the whole sacramental life of the church. We love to greet people We greet them several times in the Mass. And we love to, we stood out there tonight and visited and talked, and we'll do that afterwards. And we welcome everybody. We have a consecrated space. We love our space. Everybody loves their church. Perhaps with a long time of Sunday after Sunday of communion with us, we come into the real presence of Christ in a far deeper way than just that philosophical way we talk about, or a private individual sense. We're here with the common folk, families, friends, rich, poor, old and young. All races and nationalities are included. And importantly also, there has to be a spirit of contemplation. You have to be able to reflect and think. We probably need a little more of that in the Mass. I think there's elements of the church that would tell us that. Somehow, when we do all that, we see the transcendence, the beauty of the Mass. We see the beauty of being forgiven together, forgiving one another. We see the thanksgiving for messing up. In many ways, the greatest sacrament of reconciliation is our meal together in Eucharist in Jesus. Over and over again, sacrificial love, the timeless, transcendent beauty of the Lord's Supper. The second point that we observe very clearly tonight is what we call the mandatum. Tonight's gospel talks about Jesus saying, "You're not going to get this Lord's Supper if you don't wash each other's feet." And we do that ritual. It's all over the place. One of the things going to happen tonight is I think neither priest is going to wash their feet because I can't get down and up, and maybe we'll go up and get his. No. So all the baptized are going to be doing it. And it's important because unless we're celebrating our sacrificial giving and caring, our laying down our lives for one another, then this won't take. It'll be something, but it won't be transcending. When you see everybody here washing their feet, washing each other's feet, you reflect that we're called to do that all the time. Pius has a long tradition of social outreach and social justice. I don't think we can limit or exclude that factor of washing feet, not just each other's, not our nice little community, but everybody that's out there. In groups, individuals, we have a chance day and night to reach out to people as individuals. I'm convinced that the good spirit of the liturgy at Pius correlates with the measure of our best efforts at social outreach. So over the years, we are lifted up. We experience the beauty of this Mass. We love Holy Week. And I hope we are beginning slowly but surely to love Sunday, to make Sunday truly a holy day. That's tough going with all the competition. But maybe in this next year we can say, I'm going to make a new effort or a deeper effort to make Sunday that holy day, that transcendent experience. And over the years, we then do and have. Some of us have been going to Mass for a long time in this church or in Pius. We can have a deep transcendent beauty that we celebrate tonight in a special way. This is my body. This is my blood.